This is How to Business in Show Business, where we talk about the business of show, the podcast that discusses ways to work smarter, not harder. If you're a performer at the beginning of your career or a student interested in going into the performing arts, this is the podcast for you. For more about the podcast, you can find our website at businessandshowbusiness.com. There you can learn more about the business of performing arts with coursework, videos with shop talk, and interviews with other professional performers. Now here's your host, Corben.
I'm your host, Corben, and welcome back to another episode of How to Business in Show Business. Before we get started, go ahead and click that subscribe button so you can stay caught up anytime there's a new episode. Actors, thank you for joining me for another episode. I'm so excited to talk about this particular topic with our guest, Jackie Ray. Quick little side note, it is raining in the background fiercely, and it is thundering in the background fiercely. So we might hear some thunder. If not, at least you hear the little trickle pitter patter in the background. But on this week's episode, back on topic, Corben, we're going to be talking about the pay to play experience. Let me just say this. It is not for everyone. There are some people who have found success in it. There are some people who have in their journey of networking, getting kind of cutting the middleman as far as auditions are and getting right to the casting director to figure out what it is that they're specifically looking for. We're going to talk about that with Jackie, okay? So fret not. In part one of this conversation, though, Jackie does tap on a couple of things that would and are relevant to maybe you and your journey. One of those things being saying yes to any and all opportunities within reason that come your way, because you don't know what could be or what could come out of that experience. We also talk about, and I know we've recently talked about this in a previous episode, continuing education. Why, if you are someone who is looking for that continued education experience, how that gives you time to hone and mature not only yourself, but your craft a little bit more. Being open and receptive to presents that come your way, whether that be people and or opportunities, and cutting your teeth, how sometimes it's really just about getting shit done, okay? So here is part one of that conversation with Jackie Ray. All right. Well, Jackie, first of all, thank you for doing this. And I just feel like, because you and I have talked many of things about show business when it comes to shop talk, and one of the things that I really want to talk about in this conversation is pay to play. And I know you and I, we've talked about this a great many times, and this is relevant to you because your pay to play experience led you to Wicked. But before we get into all that, who is Jackie Ray?
That's a loaded question. Who is Jackie Ray? I think I would have had a different answer if you asked me this pre-COVID and pre-quarantine, because I think I would have answered specifically just the actor inside of me. I would have listed you traits of who is Jackie Ray. Well, this fierce, this XYZ, you know what I mean? Like this person. And I think I would have attributed all of who I am to being an actor. But you asking me that question in January of 2021, as we have been stalled, I love answering that question because I'm not jumping to, you know, these actor sides of all of us. Those are such beautiful colors. But who is Jackie Ray? She is a girl that grew up in the South who is obsessed with the fact that she lives in the North now. You can just connect those dots. And she is a sister, and she is a daughter, and she is a loyal ass friend. Mm-hmm. And yeah. And so she's a very passionate person. She's a very silly person. And she is just, she's an optimist realist. I'll never be a pessimist. That's not how I look at life. I don't walk outside my door thinking that the sky is falling, but I'm like, but the sky is gray today. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not like the sky is falling, but I'm not like it's the best day in the world. I'm a realist. And a lot of that comes into play when I don't know too much about the Enneagrams, but I'm a six, which is called loyalist. So something that's really important to me is my friendships and my relationships, kind of like you and me sitting here after all of these years. You know, we established that good relationship. I know, 4 years, can you believe it? But we established a relationship, and longevity friendships are very important to who I am as a person.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, those are kind of my things in a nutshell. And obviously, who is Jackie Ray? Well, she loves theater and she loves our craft so much. So those are just little pieces about me, I think.
Well, hopefully we'll get to see or learn a little bit more about Jackie Ray. being said, and I think this ties in perfectly to who Jackie Ray is, what are some hobbies and or interests that you have outside of show business?
Sure. I think outside of show business, my hobbies really kind of maybe tie into our little theatrical world and theatrical mm-hmm. bubble of ours. I've always been into, this is going to sound, don't roll your eyes at me, everyone, but this is going to sound very like kitschy and cliche because I love taking care of my body in like physical aspects. So something that's very important to me and has been for a while, it's in my foundation, it's within my family because my dad was a football coach and my mom got her master's in exercise and physiology. So I grew up, I have more memories sitting inside of the gyms or the nurseries at gyms than I do like in my home. And so physical activity was something that was implemented in me very young. Like I'm sure a lot of us who are dancers and have dance backgrounds. So something I love as a 26-year-old now is that I just love learning more and more and more about the body. And I love learning more about what we can do as we age and we're not so limber anymore, kicking our face anymore. So I'm really passionate about, I don't know how you would classify this other than, if I had $1 million, I would do the whole, I would get nutrition certified. I would get certified to help women's reproductive health, like that, those whole kind of canons, because I think our bodies are spectacular, but they're well-oiled machines. And the more that I'm getting older and the more that I'm exploring about the body is there's so much gut health, and everything that we take in food-wise is related to our whole being. So I'm really passionate about learning about those kind of things. So like gym and yoga and stuff like that are mm-hmm. huge parts of my life. But I think other than the obvious, which are those feel good things, I, in these moments of stillness while theater's been gone, I've been relying on a day job of mine that Corben knows a lot about, but it's a cool side industry, side hustle, you know, let's go. Mm-hmm. I run down the street and I'm just on fire. But it's a side gig called, it's called One Fine Stay. And I actually found this job through a fellow actor who was doing a show with me a couple years back. And she said, hey, you got a gig lined up after this show's over? And I said, nah, what do you think I am? And so she said, I work for a company called One Fine Stay, and it's luxury Airbnb and home rentals. So I said, okay, I'll dabble. I'll put my big toe in. Mm-hmm. And the rest was history. That's all she wrote, folks, because it's so interesting learning that everything has a purpose in your weird little life as a performer, that every yes you say in this city matters. And I don't care that it's not in our field. That yes is probably going to lead to something more about you as an actor. So just say yes to everything. And that was advice given to me in college by a very wonderful mentor of mine. But so I said yes to this crazy little job, which is basically real estate. And, you know, through this job, which is basically, it's more of a hands-on approach to Airbnb. So when you book with Airbnb, you know, you go up and you have a little lockbox and you're like, how do I get in? And then you make it and that's your Airbnb stay. But with One Fine Stay, it's heightened. So I'm basically like the face to the company. So I'll welcome guests in inside the home and I'll walk through them and cater to anything that they need and probably try to say a joke that might or might not land regarding if they're foreign or not. But basically I've learned through this other passion of mine is connecting with people. I've always known that I really like people and I'm a people person and I'm very outgoing. It's the nature of us being theater artists, I think. But I didn't know how well and how fortunate I was in this arena. So I think this job has taken me through the pandemic and I'm still doing it. They luckily took me back in this time of pause and stillness, but I'm definitely really excited to see that the gifts that I'm really honing in on, which are called extensive people, persons, souls, extensive communication skills with other people who are not creative, you know what I mean? And to see like how these skills that I'm honing in on really go and coordinate to the audition room. Mm-hmm. How can I be authentic and real and hold presence in real life? I think it's been something that I've been thinking a lot about, and that's auditioning, being mm-hmm. your authentic. And so it's been so cool trying to like figure out how I'm going to take, how I'm spending most of my time, which is not in our fields. And then, you know, taking it over to when we go back.
Wow. Well, you answered already several of my questions. So,
I did. Oh,
no,
it's good.
You know what?
Shut me up whenever.
No, it's so good because I remember had this similar conversation with Ed Watts, who I did a show with, and you'll hear his episode. Well, they will have already heard his episode because he was so, I don't know how to explain this other than you give people an inch and see where they take you with that mile. And that's great because, you know, now we don't have to waste time going through some of these other things. But my question is to you in this regard, what was your first experience with either the arts and or entertainment?
My first experience seeing what we call the arts, I think, mm-hmm. I was exposed when I was younger because of just through movies. And I think it was fair to say that I gravitated towards heightened theatrical / musical movies. I'm really thinking about Annie starring B. Carol Burnett and Tim Curry. And that one, you know that one.
Yes.
And rest in peace, the legendary ranking that just passed. Oh my, we've got Annie. Are you serious? Like, I just will pass away. Killing me softly with her legs. And so I was exposed to those movies when I was younger. And my mom always said that I would just run around the house and I would act out the scenes from the movies. And my grandfather, who was a singer, he never sang professionally, but he loved to sing and has a pretty good ear. I think that's where I get most of my natural abilities. He looked at my mom, I guess, one day and was like, "She's got perfect pitch. What's happening here? She's too young for this." And so that was like kind of my first like foot in the door, but I didn't realize it at the time. Mm-hmm. But then my first exposure was, I think, I was so in love with the movie Annie, like I referenced. So the local high school in my area of town that I grew up in Georgia, right outside of Atlanta, they were doing Annie. So I remember I was a first grader, sat in the audience. Was it good or not? Who's to say? It was high schoolers playing Annie. So I bet we can connect those dots. But I thought it was fantastic. Yeah. And so that was my first musical that I ever saw. And it took some time. It took some time for me to warm up to it. I always kind of like to tell people that I wasn't a bunhead. That wasn't my, like, that wasn't where I started. That wasn't my mom dragging me by my bun into a ballet studio while I cried doing pliés. You know, that wasn't my, that wasn't my path. And I'm really happy it wasn't my path, even though I have a very love, hate, bittersweet, not guilty, that's not the right word, but strange relationship looking back on my past, because I wish I was a bunhead when I was so young. You know, I wish my whole life was enriched in theater, but it wasn't, because that was just not simply where I was at the moment. I think my second answer, like just a two-part question, my second then huge theatrical experience was I, you know, going back to what I said earlier about my parents being active and us having a pretty active household. Mm-hmm. I remember I was told this, and I want to take this into my parenting one day if I have kids. But my mom and dad said to my sister and I, "You will do a sport or activity. I don't care what it is. You're getting your butt outside, like go." Yeah. And then we skipped around. And so basically my sister was gravitating towards the really girly feminine type of thing. So she loved gymnastics, and I might edit that, just the more feminine kind of sports. Yeah. And I was concentrating more on soccer or taekwondo. Fun fact, I'm a black belt in taekwondo. Sixth grade Jackie could take you down. I won't now, but sixth grade Jackie could. And so I was focusing on all these other things, not even knowing that my skill sets that I loved to do when I was at home were singing and putting on shows and plays and running around and playing dress up. Those were things that I was doing at home. Yeah. Why wasn't that coordinating to, you know, what the activity that I wanted? So in fourth grade, my sister was a kindergartner, first grader. I remember I was going to her dance recital and the lights went down. It was my first experience of like any type of odd, like dimming sensation, you know, the crowd hushed. And I was like, what's going on? What is this? And I will never forget where I was. I was on the campus of the University of Georgia and it was her like end of the year little like recital. And she was such a peanut that she was only in 2 minutes of this like 4 hour, you know, those old recitals where they're 4 hours long and all the dads are drunk and everyone's tired because they're so long. But I watched one of those recitals and I just absolutely fell in love with our craft. Like I will never forget that feeling of falling in love with something so young. I just would watch the older girls who were all the technicians, you know, with their legs and their turns and the sound. I'm really auditory. I love hearing music. I love always having music on. I love different types of music. And so I think all of those recipes, all those little ingredients in this recipe we call, you know, our profession, just hit me like a bowling ball that day. Yep. And so that was like my first two, you know, those were my first two experiences in the theater and having such an out-of-body experience of I saw myself as a awkward, gawky, hadn't even gone through puberty yet, like fourth grader. And I saw myself like on that stage being like, I'm going to be a beautiful dancer one day. And I know it's very emotional talking about that story.
Oh my God, that takes me back. You know, I was watching.
Does it take you back?
Well, it does because like you, like I grew up like a bunhead too. And I just thought that Clay had interviewed me for his podcast. And his first question is, what were your theater dreams? I said, honestly, I didn't have any. I just thought I was going to be a ballet dancer and join New York City Ballet or ABT. Like I really just thought that's all that I was going to do. That's all I wanted to do till Kenny Ingram came into my life. And it was like, you have more than just a dancer in you. Like you should consider theater. You like, it's such a short career anyways. Why not get the best use out of it? So I've been watching Tiny Dancers on Netflix and On Point on Disney+. And it kind of just takes me back and I'm seeing these kids and I remember being that age. Like I remember, anyways, we reminisce, I digress. Oh my God, it just takes you back, right? goodbye.
And I also, I have a group of friends of mine and they're still like my like hometown hero girls.
Yeah.
And they're the girls I grew up dancing with. And we still even talk about how like those shows that we put on, those musicals that we did at our community theater, were they God's gift to theater? Absolutely not. But they were to us. There is nothing more than like, there's nothing better thinking about those times of us growing up, probably before we left at 18 to pursue this professionally. Mm-hmm. But those like thinking about those recitals and those dance classes and those musicals that we did where it was just for fun. It was for fun. And that's what made it so beautiful.
Wow. So we talked about the passion. We talked about your family recognizing it at a very early age within you and then your experience, how effortlessly just came into your life. Would it be fair to say that the market in Georgia, would it be say that there's a heavy art community in Georgia?
Yeah, I'm going to answer this question to the best of my abilities because I grew up in a suburb outside of Atlanta. Mm-hmm. So I don't really have a lot of experience with the Atlanta market, which I bet somebody would have a much more eloquent way of talking about the Atlanta, Georgia market because I grew up in, you know, southern cows and fields and, you know, our dance studio was really the only main dance studio there. And, you know, I will say that arts were important and I went to a public high school. There was nothing private about my high school. And I chalk it all up to the woman who was in charge of our dance program there. She made it cool. And we also were in school during the Glee movement.
Oh my gosh, like,
everyone was so obsessed with what we were doing.
Throwback.
So like, yeah. So like, it was really cool to be a dancer and to be to be in the theater when I was in high school. And I will say, I do think now, if we're talking currently in 2021, I think Atlanta has a fantastic market. More so, I was just there with Wicked last October, November. And so I got a little bit of taste of living in the city. And I'd say it's a fantastic regional market. Again, this is just me hearing the snippets. I've never actually lived there, and I can't testify to the artists that do live there. But I think it's got great film and TV opportunities and commercial opportunities. Now, you know, the other side of the coin, though, is that I have heard that it's kind of like an LA kind of moment. It's kind of like a New York moment where it's there's film and TV opportunity, but you would probably access more of those auditions if you were to live in a hub like New York or LA. But in terms of, they have Equity Theater, the Alliance is there in Atlanta, where so many shows out of town. I've heard mixed things. I think if you look at any of these regional markets, because I've spent a lot of time in Dallas, Fort Worth, as well, because of going to college there. And I think all of these regional markets are quite clunky, because I think you could argue that they mainly cast out of New York and LA. Mm-hmm. So I think it's just a matter of what's your recipe of life and what do you need and what do you want, which will serve you well in New York and LA, or do you need to actually live in this regional market and not just go to work in this regional market?
Speaking of Texas, why did you feel as though it was important to continue your training alongside with education?
That's a really good question. And I'm really happy 26-year-old Jackie is answering this and not 18-year-old Jackie. Oh, I think I think she would have had a different story and tale for you. So I think at 18, if you would have asked me, hey, would you like to go to school, or would you like to move to New York, pursue your dreams, go to the Broadway? I would say, no, I want to go to New York. Why would I want to stay in this? Why would I want, I live, breathe, eat New York. And then I have like a graffiti like Tom Hardy hat on or something. I'm so happy I chose to go to school. I will say the most amazing things about DCU because it was the perfect fit for me. But now as a 26-year-old, and especially going to a liberal arts school, I'm sure we all have different opinions about all of this. This is just my own testimony. I wanted to go to a conservatory. I wanted to go to a big dog. I did the thing. I auditioned for about 18 schools. And the only reason I went to TCU was I got a full ride. I got an almost full ride scholarship. So my parents were like, you must. And at that point, my parents were such heavy influences in my life that they weren't giving me that New York or go kind of ticket. You have to go to school kind of thing. That wasn't even in the cards that I wasn't going to go to school. I'm happy I did. I personally am happy I did. I think 4 years at a university really does grow up a person if you're receptive and allowing a 4 year of a university program to change you. Because I think 4 years is a really long time for an individual to shape into something, especially such a little alien brain like an 18-year-old. Yeah. So, you know, thinking about the girl that I was at 18 and then what I left at 22, it's a drastic difference. I think in going back for what I believe, and it's not for everybody, I got a liberal arts education. Holy cow. So many of our peers just did the skyrocket to New York, and I bet that worked, and I'm so happy for them, and I bet they are so talented. And so many of our peers skyrocketed and did the conservatory program. Hey, guess what? Jackie Ray really wanted that really bad. I wanted to live, breathe, and eat dance and theater and sing and musicals and I explode. Like, I wanted that like so bad. And the thought of me taking a math class, I wanted to scream. I wanted to flip some tables. But boy, I'm happy I did, because I love being a human being and I love, and this kind of goes back. Wow. We're all like, Yuka, you and your questions, we're all kind of full circling it. I'm so obsessed with my, I know it's like, you know what you're doing. I love at 26, knowing that I can have intelligent conversations and stances and opinions on the world, and that I'm educated, and that I have a degree from a reputable program or a reputable school that is a little bit more plugged in than theater. It's just, I think as actors, this was a quote told to me in school, it's not mine, and of course I'm gonna butcher it, but as actors, we have to know what we're talking about.
Yeah.
We have to be convincing when we're on stage, do we not? Do we have to be truthful? Do we have to be living in a state of vulnerability? Where do we access that? If we don't know what's going on in our world, if we don't know why this happened in history, if we don't know why this women's movement did X, Y, Z, if we don't know the periodic table of elements, you know what I mean? That stuff that is so clunky to us as creative people who all we want to sit around and do is sing sometimes, which don't get me wrong, I love doing that. But I think it adds to you and your presence and your purpose in the world. And it adds to your information and your tool belt as an actor, you know? So I'm really happy that I went through a liberal arts program where we were required to take 12 hours of basic curriculum, because I think it really shaped you as an actor. I'll go to my grave on that one.
Wow. You know, I think, I'm just, the end. I think that's interesting because I know you and I have spoken about this before. College is not for everyone. No, sometimes there are those of us who go to those conservatories, go straight to New York or whatever market is that you want to go to. Some of us just go learn our trade and then get like, so ultimately some of us do come full circle to getting to where we want to go, but some of us just need that time, and that's okay. Like that it's the time that you need to mature, as you said, and to get yourself ready, because I'm always surprised by those who can just plop themselves in that market, wherever it may be. And I'm like, I commend you. I had two years before I got into my market. Some people, our good friend Cameron, like his additional schooling afterwards. Like I'm so impressed by that. Like, do you, and whatever works best for you.
Yeah. It's the testament of, and this sounds cliche. I feel like all of us in New York have heard this phrase once, at least once. I mean, God, how many times have I heard it? But it is true. We all are on our own past. We have to figure this out for ourselves. There is not the way that you are doing this, Corbin, and the way that I am doing this, and the way that this mouse down the hall is doing this, the way that my roommate is doing it. Like, you know, it's all different and it's all information. It's not that it's like these paths are not laid out for us. We have to do the detective work. We got to do the dirty work. It's not just because my roommate's doing this, I'm doing it. Because my best friend's doing it, I'm doing it. And it sounds kitschy. It sounds cliche. It really does. Like, I understand probably some people want to come for me when I say something like this, but it's true.
Yeah.
It's your path. It's your path. And you have to figure that out. You can look at what other people are doing for sure as guide posts. I mean, I think the most valuable thing that I've done in New York is have an open and receptive presence. And I use my friends who are, let's say, they've done a show that I really want to do, or they did a TV spot that I really want to do, or they're with an agency that I really would love to be with one day. Just use them as information, talk to them, take them out to coffee, walk in the park with them, use them as resources, but they're not your path. Yeah. It's just like, at the end of the day, like, use them as information, then go forth, young Padawan. Like, I just think that the phrase, you have to create your own path and it is your own path, might turn people off and just be, it might be very surface, but it's so real. And I don't think I understood that when I first moved here at 22, but at 26, my New York chapter is all mine and I've made it that way, you know?
Yeah. Last question before we get onto the advice portion of this, because I think this is so important while we're talking about creating your own path. So this question, I think, I ask everyone this because I find it interesting how they all cultivated and curated their own. In the early years of Jackie Ray, leading up to where she is now professionally, what was it like cutting your teeth?
So cutting your teeth, elaborate on that.
What?
Use your example. And then
So my example is this.
Everyone, Corbin is very interested.
Cutting your teeth, right? As you just said, navigating your own way, because what works for you I know for me, 4 years was not going to do it. And I remember this being a heavy conversation with my dad. He's like, you're going to go to 5 year school. You're going to get your master's. I'm like, wait a minute. Isn't this my life? Wait a minute. And then it was like a steady slow down from like five to four to three to two, right? So cutting your teeth in terms of the choices you had to make, getting to where you needed for where you needed to end up, what was your training like? What was the choice between maybe doing this workshop as opposed to go doing this convention, or maybe just doing something completely different and like, hey, I'm going to go back to doing martial arts for a little while, or maybe I have to go do the summer camp and like put this on pause. And then I'll eventually get whatever that might be for you. The steps to getting to where you are now, what was that like cutting your teeth?
Yeah. So cutting my teeth, I would have to say going back, from like the more recent to like maybe when I started this crazy little career we call theater, I think New York Jackie cut her teeth by saying, I'm going to grind because I have to financially. Mm-hmm. So it's putting to bed the insecurities of putting jobs that might be less than to suffice for what you need in the moment. So I think that's a lot of people's testimonies, but not being afraid to get shit done. You know what I mean? Like get it done. And sometimes that means you're going to have to go work those shifts and not take a dance class, or you're going to have to it's getting by is equally as important in New York City than spending all your money on training. You got to marry the two. So I feel like I was really good when I first moved here at figuring out how I need to load up my schedule with not the most glamorous things, but also, choosing that dance class to go to once a week, choosing that voice lesson to pay towards once a month. It's balance, man. And I think that's really important. College, I think I cut my teeth wanting the fact that everyone was doing all these summer stock things. And I would go out and I would try to network and audition for all of these big summer stocky type regional theater. But it never happened for me. But then all of us that were in the Dallas-Fort Worth market decided to stay and do equity work in Dallas for every summer that I was in school. Right. So then by the time, which at the time I thought was cutting teeth, but now I'm realizing I was just straight up blessed. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Not a lot of people can graduate from a university program with their equity card or equity points. And so you're an EMC member. So nobody told us, when we go to TCU or when you go to Texas, you got a really great regional market. You don't have to go to Kingdom Come to get your weeks. You can stay in Dallas. And I'll tell you, some of the best theater I've ever seen comes from Dallas-Fort Worth, and some of the most memorable theatrical experience came from that network and region of the country. And so in terms of, I think college grinding my teeth and cutting my teeth would be like a lot of my other peers, was that I was going to stay and do the work regionally, where maybe I wanted to kick my feet up and say no, but I just want to go work at Muni over and over and over again. Stay in your neighborhood, take it easy, do some really beautiful shows in Dallas-Fort Worth. And the rest fell out there, because then again, like I said, so many of us transitioned to New York so easily because we had stacked resumes and we had stacked shows and we had experience that wasn't just educational theater that you get from a college program. But in terms of then, I think the last chapter of me, because I didn't start any of this craziness till I was in eighth grade, late bloomer. Preach. I would say, I think because I knew that this was for me, work ethic is really important, which I'm sure we'll talk about later, if not now.
Oh, yes.
I think you are a great example, Corbin, of work ethic. You're always planning something. You're always scheming. And that's something I really love about you as a friend. And, as somebody that looks up to you. But it's work ethic is something that I always hold very close to me. I take pride, and then I have a really, really, I feel like I'm like the Energizer Bunny. Like, I'm always just like, my heart is on fire for progression. And, I'm not satisfied with where I am even right now. I want to keep going. Yeah. And I got that instilled in me, I think, when I was in eighth grade. And I did a dance assessment with this woman who owns the dance studio that I went through growing up. And she looked at my mom and I, and I was, she was like, what am I going to do with her? She doesn't know what a plie is. She doesn't know what a tendu is. She's flexible because she's a gymnast and a cheerleader and in taekwondo. She's flexible. She's got a physique body. Like, she has the tools, but what do we do now? And so for all of eighth grade, I did private lessons. I did private dance lessons. And, you know, that's pretty scary when you're like 14 years old and all you want to do is dance. I just want to dance. You know, it's all you want to do, but yeah. You don't know how. And so I did a year of private lessons. And that, I think, kickstarted how my work ethic, if I want to do something, I got to get out and do it. You know, if you want to be somebody, if you want to go somewhere, you better wake up, pay attention. That's I think what kickstarted my eighth grade Jackie said, let's cut some teeth, Corbin. Yeah. I want to be a dancer. Let's do it. And you figure it out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right on.
If you enjoyed this episode, be sure to subscribe so you're notified when a new episode is posted. Rate and review this podcast, and be sure to share with your friends. Thanks for listening, and we'll catch you on next week's episode of How to Business in Show Business.